If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love and light of the one divine spirit. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening our seminar topic is the multi-dimensional manifestations of God. So let's take a deep breath and allow that beautiful divine awareness to cascade from the top of your crown chakra all the way down through your body. Activating, awakening, anointing, and revealing to you within the divinity in which you reside, the God that you are forever and ever. And nothing you could ever say, think, or do in this dream field we call time and space and becoming could ever rob you of your eternal oneness and identity with God. Well, if there's anything that comes up for you as I say the word God, in fact, let's just go into it right now. What do you feel? What comes up for you when you hear the term God? Is there the slightest twinge of discomfort, guilt, unworthiness, dislike? Anything that wants to diss that word or distance from that image that comes up for you. It takes great courage to see the face of God. Because first we have to see it in the mirror. Then you begin to see it everywhere. You know, I think the greatest possible gift that I can give any of you in these weekly seminars is the impartation of the direct experiential energy that I carry for many lifetimes, and this lifetime in particular, of living consciously in the presence of God. Sai Baba has said that those of us that have had direct experience of God, that it is our swadharma, our duty, to share that with others. Because only someone who has had genuine experience really is able to go beyond words and quicken energetically that awareness in another. It's called darshan, shaktipat. And for me, Baba called it deva drishti, which is the ability to see God in others. It's a gift, and it's something that I feel very deeply moved and inspired to share in every possible way that I can. Or more than anything in the world, I would like everyone within the sound of my voice to experience the love, the incredible depth of peace, and the ever-present joy that resides so deeply within my being. I want that for everyone. And I know that everyone ultimately will awaken to that level. It is there. No one deprives us, ever. And it is something that when we have gotten enough of the world, we just naturally begin to turn inward. And some, you know, the universe really has to come knocking hard on that door, pull that rug out from under you, sometimes to get your attention. Before you do, let go of things that slip through your fingers and disappoint and hurt and leave you feeling frustrated, empty. God is the fullness, ever full. That once you have entered into that, that's what Jesus was referring to when he said, if you eat of this bread, you will never again hunger. If you drink of this living water, you will never again thirst. He was speaking of that sense of emptiness and lack that the seekers of the things of the world always encounter. That's what comes when you look in places where that which you're seeking cannot be found. But, interestingly enough, once you've encountered it within, then you move about in the world as if it were your living room, and you're at home with your family, with God, all the time. I love the earth. I have absolutely no desire to be beamed off this planet or to go anywhere or to do anything but to be. Whether I would be here in this dimension or any other world or dimension, I don't think I would shift an iota. For I am within that which I now live as my environment without. And so that is the treasure, the pearl of great price, which when you find it, you will sell and give away everything you own to procure that pearl. That pearl is within you. And life and all of its irritants, all of its disappointments, all of the things that grate and grind us are what is forming that pearl in the oyster of our lives. As the Master Moria always said, blessed be the obstacles by which we grow. So this churning and twisting and turning that we go through in these lower dimensional worlds will ultimately produce that pearl that you seek in so many places and ways to find in the world, only to find that all the time it was within you. So I believe the people were so very upset when 12/21/2012 dawned and nothing outwardly seemed to shift. And so many had placed so much hope that there would be a sudden transformation into another state, another dimension, another something. And yet, I experienced a very, very pristine new quality of energy that came in because I wasn't seeking it without. My attention was available to the awareness as it simply became apparent within me. That's the thing, you see, when you're looking for experience that you have projected through your mind out on the timeline, you're not available for present revelation. That's why the teachers of today are constantly reminding you to be present here and now. You don't have to think about anything. What is yours in terms of revelation and knowing? If you make room for it, it will simply occur to you. You don't have to go chasing knowledge. You have to make room for it. And likewise, the presence of God is in you, with you, above you, below you, to your right, to your left. You live and move and have your being within divine existence itself. Nothing and no one can ever separate you from God. That which temporarily seems to is but that little sense of self-separation and fear that we call the ego mind. I have so often said, give it to love. Everything that is of the not-self, that is of the darkness, will ultimately be dissolved in divine love. Things are not destroyed in hellfire. They are transformed in the fiery, loving heart of God. But it's not a fire that burns you into damnation. It's a fire that transfigures you into that which is pure, divine love, pure essence. How the teachings have been twisted and distorted by those who have only read books and have not had a direct encounter with God. That's how religions came to be. People who had not had a direct experience were trying to interpret the words and teachings of someone who had. But a secondhand message is often distorted, as we have so often found. It is only the fire of a heart that has merged and become one with the great heart that can convey that holy fire of transfigurative glory. It can spread, it can ignite, it can generate a greater fire within a heart that's already starting to ignite. And that's the value of satsang and being with people who have had genuine experience. That's why I made so many trips to be in the presence of the divine avatar, Sri Satya Sai Baba. Truly, a pure embodiment of that divine Father, Mother, God principle. Very, very direct physical encounter with the divine. But you know, Baba has said that whatever experience you have with God, whether it's physical, as in the case of going to see a major avatar like Sai Baba, or whether it's in a vision and meditation, or whether it's in a dream, that only dreams of God are real. Everything else comes out of your imagination and your own inner realms of association. Dreams of God are actual experiences, no different if you dream or have a vision than if you went to India to see Sai Baba in person, or, you know, anyone else that is an embodiment of divinity. So I want to share with you this evening some of the many ways that God manifests. And I would like you to be aware that right now where you're sitting, every atom and subatomic particle of every single little drop of essence that you breathe, that's beating your heart, that's flowing through your veins as blood, that's circulating as the atmosphere in the vibrational field, that looks like your chair, your bed, your sofa, whatever it is, wherever you are, that God is the light that densified as every one of those forms. There is nothing in existence but God, densified at a particular wavelength of manifestation. Take a second or two and just own that realization that you sit in God right now. You sit in the very heart of the kingdom of heaven. You sit in the all that is. Wherever you are, God is. and all is well. So, what came up for you when I said the word God? What is God to you? If someone would ask you, or if I would ask you, what is God to you? How do you see God? How do you experience God? How do you know that you are experiencing God? And what is your knowing about God? I always like people to move to their direct knowing, not to their mind, something they've read or something somebody else has said. But what is your knowing about God? You have to move your awareness to your knowing. How do you do that? Well, you just start talking without thinking. You move into the feeling of the awareness of that, and you get some words that follow, that flow along that sense of knowing. Knowing is arrived at instantly without forethought. I think when you spend a lot of time looking into the self, very easy to speak about it. Very easy for me to do these weekly seminars because I'm involved in this 24/7. I never stop. I never think about anything else. I'm not interested in anything else. I'm interested in experiencing the presence of God and the inner kingdoms of God within me. And also seeing them without, because as I said, I enjoy life. I love this planet. I love the shenanigans of the many souls and egos that are strutting about on the surface. I enjoy their play. And I can laugh knowing that everybody's going to wake up because everyone is God pretending to be a human for a limited period of time. So what's the sweat? What's the worry? What's the big gripe? What's all the fear? You see, once you know that you know that you know that you live and move and have your being in God and, in fact, are God, that's the end of your worry, your fear, your disappointment, your anguish, your sense of insecurity, your lack, your desire to find somebody to complete your life, your wish to somehow, presto, change-o, dissolve and disappear from this planet. Don't you realize all of that is symptomatic of the fact that you simply haven't taken time to take a deep breath and really sincerely present yourself in an openness to receive the kiss of the divine. God is at the point of your greatest intensity of focus. Okay? God will manifest as whatever you place your focus on, be it a material thing in the world, because God is everything that is, so be it a material form, or the presence of the beloved that comes to woo you from within until you become so drunk in the Holy Spirit that you dance like a madman, like Ramakrishna. He used to dance stark naked. Everyone thought he was insane. He thought he was insane. But his insanity was madness for God. Like the great Sufi dervishes and mystics that are called the masts, like Rumi and Shamus. Drunken God, like Mother Mirabai, like Tukaram, Tulsidas. So many, like me. I'm drunk most of the time, so much so I can barely tell which body I have to come back to. But it's a divine madness that fills you with such ecstasy that you just sit and smile and weep sometimes. You're so overflowing with nectar. And nothing probably is more challenging than to be in a world where people are content to be asleep. Content to be asleep. That haven't generated any degree of consciousness above the brute animal level. In fact, most animals are of a higher degree of sensitivity and attunement to spirit than the lowest level of human consciousness. That indeed is difficult when you have an overflowing chalice, because at that point you just want people to drink from you, take from you. You're here just to be a dispenser of the living water, a chalice of divine nectar, of Amritam. So God manifests for you whenever you want God. So much so that instead of weeping for the things of this world, you sit like a discontented child in your playpen and you howl for the Divine Mother. Toys and trinkets and baubles and religions and doctrines and secondhand experience no longer is going to work for you. You're done with it all. You're finished with it all. You've had enough sex, enough food, enough romance, enough everything, everything. And now you want that which is eternal and will never leave you and forsake you. If I can densify myself enough to enumerate some of these many manifestations of God, bear with me. I'm rather in the spirit tonight. And the energies are entirely new. They're entirely new. If you import your grievance and angst from the past, you're doing yourself and the planet a great disservice because you're not showing up in the new dimensional overlay. And believe me, it is present. The souls who awaken to their divinity are liberated from material bondage. They're free. They're free to really, truly live. And souls that are temporarily experiencing separation by buying into the delusion of the ego mind, they will return to the material universes until they do awaken. So no one is going to be irreparably lost, because everyone is a divine incarnation, whether they are aware of it or not. And God is certainly not able to lose track of itself. So God is both personal and that which is transcendental and absolute. God takes the form as all that exists, and at the same time is that which transcends the manifest creation. God is within and without at the same time. God dwells in the hearts of all beings and is also that in which all things exist and are contained. God takes manifestation individually in human form from age to age as one or many avatars. An avatar is a divine, fully divine incarnation that comes down to embody either a full or a partial manifestation of one of the attributes of God. With Satya Sai Baba, you had the complete manifestation, as much as could be brought into the physical at this time, of the Father, Mother, God principle in human form. And yet we are all embodiments of the divine. It's just that an avatar comes in without the need of any spiritual practice. He or she knows they are divine from birth. And the rest of humanity is in the process of awakening to that. That's the only difference. So God manifests beyond all names and all forms, and at the same time manifests as every name and every form. So your name and your form are also God's name and God's form. God is the living Word, and the sound of silence. God is the living light and that which transcends visible light. God has no gender and yet can appear as either gender. God is ageless and yet can appear as aged or youthful. God is called the Ancient of Days as well as the youth of many summers. God has no darkness, no shadow, no otherness whatsoever. God simply is that which is. God is existence, life, love, truth itself. God is who and what you are at your deepest, essential core of being. You as a human being are simply God, adorned with conditioned layers of energy and experience and association. And as you get to know yourself, as you keep looking and releasing and forgiving and letting go and moving in your awareness, those conditioned layers of energy start to dissolve into the love that is until you are but pure, unconditioned love. You see, you allow those things that look like negativity to dissolve in love. That's called the way of grace. The old way is to work it through karma. That takes many, many lifetimes where you have to keep reincarnating and working through your karma. The way of grace enables you to step free now, every instant, through the grace, through the action of the Christ, through the grace, through the love that is. Don't allow a name or a term or a definition to ever block you. Find a way to become comfortable with immortal, eternal love that simply will set you free if you give yourself to it. So all of manifested creation eventually returns to love. And all that is dark, that we would call of the ego projections, are destined to dissolve into love. God is who and what you are as love extending and as love returning. And at every point in the continuum, love is who and what you are as a divine being. We have no concept of avatars in the West, unfortunately. It is such an enlightened and liberating influence when you realize that from age to age, God takes one or many forms and appears as an avatar. There are 10 major avatars of the extension of what we would call Mahavishnu, which is another term for that which is the sustainer, and the Bodhisattva, or the Savior consciousness. We would call it the Christ consciousness in Western understanding. But we have no understanding in the Western model of the continuity of revelation, the spiritual hierarchy of descending and ascending orders of life that commutate, step down, and expand the love, glory, and light of the divine multidimensionally. We don't have that understanding. And it's a great paucity, great lack in not having that. So you'll have specialized incarnations such as Buddha, the enlightened one who came to reveal the initial cause of our suffering, which is simply attachment to an impermanent and passing world. You had Jesus, the Christ, who completely embodied the perfect relationship with the divine and completely took his body through the illusion field of death all the way through to the resurrection and the restoration of eternal life in the resurrected form. He went through the whole continuum that every single soul on the planet is destined to go through, because we're all destined to go through the transfiguration, the resurrection, and the ascension, which are all stages of initiation, of returning to light and love. Jesus simply embodied it as the way, the truth, and the life that we're all destined to live. Only he had to do the crucifixion for you, so that you would not have to go through the law of karma and reincarnation for endless births. He gave a shortcut through grace that he called the way, with a capital W. It's not just for a small group of people or for people who call themselves by a certain religious denomination or belief. It's for every man, woman, and child on the planet. It's for everyone. Whether you're a Christian or a Buddhist or a Jew or a atheist or a whatever, it's for you. It is a gift of love. So you as a human being are simply God, adorned with conditioned mindsets. And speaking again also of the specialized incarnations and missions, you have the incarnations also of the Sais, Shirdi Sai Baba, Satya Sai Baba, and now Prema Sai Baba. And each of them had a specific message and a specific function. And you will notice every one of the avatars has a particular manifestation. I believe that Satya Sai Baba, well, Shirdi Sai, Satya Sai, and Prema Sai, I believe, are the manifestations of what's called the 10th avatar of Vishnu. Only he came as a Trikaya, as a three manifestations in three different time phases. But essentially, of that energy of the Kalki avatar, or the rider on the white horse. There's that metaphor of the rider on the white horse as the Kalki avatar in the Vedic teachings, and as the rider on the white horse with a crown of many diadems, who is dressed in a robe of blood red, who has a sword, the sword of truth, proceeding from his mouth, with which he smites the nations and restores righteousness. And that's what Sai Baba came to do. As the rider spoken of in the 19th chapter of Revelation, he is the rider on the white horse that came to restore righteousness amongst the nations. Whether or not it appears on the surface, that righteousness is spreading abroad as we speak. It has been quickened in thousands and millions of hearts all over the world, and it will continue to grow into a tree of life that will cause shade to all humanity. The divine golden age was set in its firmly rooted position, quickened and activated by the avatar Satya Sai Baba, and will be brought to full fruition through the appearance of Prema Sai Baba. And so, that is the manifestation of the avatar. And then you have the lineage of the spiritual travelers that have the spiritual mission of returning the souls home beyond the psychic and material worlds, realms, and planets into the God realm. In these lower psychic and material realms, you have a time lag which causes everything to appear as if it's happening now, but in fact you're simply revisiting the past. So everything you do in these lower realms on this planet Earth, and in the material world similar to Earth, is simply a revisiting and a rehashing and a replicating of that which has already been. It allows you to tweak it, edit it, make it a little better, fine-tune your performance, and slow down in the timeline so that you can really go through experience and master your levels. But once you master your levels and you're ready to move beyond the light and the fallen light into the living light, then you need to connect with the sound current, because only the living word can take you beyond the psychic and material realms of polarity and duality that prevail in all the planetary worlds beneath the realm of the soul, or such kind as it's called, the realm of truth. So to get there, you need a traveler, a spiritual traveler who knows the way. They always come in through the order of Melchizedek, which carries multidimensional keys for consciousness, translocation, and soul transcendency, so that you can move into the soul body and move in your awareness, and not only move in your awareness into the God realms, but be established in those realms. And to be established, you need someone who has already established themselves and knows the inner geography and terrain of consciousness and has the keys to enable you to have a conscious experience on each level and to secure yourself in those God realms. Once that occurs, you don't return here unless you come back as a traveler to work here, or because for some other reason you come in as an avatar or bodhisattva, but you come in then to simply be of service. So it's important to know that there is a way, a higher way, that transcends all of the ways that have been presented before into time and space, before the advent and entrance of grace, and this new covenant or dispensation, which was vouchsafed 2,000 years ago through the ministry and mission of Jesus the Christ, that made all things new. So, as part of these dimensions, you'll find that that at every level that you find a block. Say, for example, what came up for you when you looked initially at your what came up for you with God. You may have had attitude towards God projected from your experience with your parents. You know, no matter, you know, how old we get, there's always an inner child within us that thinks of God as a parent figure. And that's something we can't dismiss. We have to really look at the fact that because our parents are the first form of God that manifests to us, our attitude about our parents and parenting, or lack thereof, tends to get projected on God. I had some tremendous things come up for me around my relationship with my father when I was in my first interview with Sai Baba. I projected, you know, all the disappointment and hurt onto Baba. And, of course, he took it and gave me back love and freedom. But when these things come up, it's important that you give them to the Lord. Give them to love. Give them to the avatar. Give them to Christ. Give them to Sai Baba. Give them to that love, which is greater. And forgive whoever it is that you have allowed to block. You know, your judgment, your grievances are what block the light of the world of revelation that is seeking to enter your mind and your heart. You can't take grievance and unforgiveness with you into the God realms. You must give them all over to love. Don't try to understand, don't try to process. Give it over to love. Just do it. You don't have to feel like doing it. Just do it anyway. So I can say these things because I've been healed and set free by that same love that I'm speaking of. And I continue to experience an ever-unfolding, powerful, tender, and extremely intimate relationship with the Beloved, with that one God who has, in my life, taken so very many multidimensional manifestations and forms. Oh, it is so much fun when you're looking for God everywhere. God just loves the game of hide-and-seek and personification. So, in terms of you personally, God manifests within you as your high self, which is like a image or an archetype that your soul presents that guides you for this particular lifetime. And then you have your soul, which is your individualized consciousness. And then you have your spirit, which is also called your I Am Presence, or the monad, or Atma. Those are all God in you personally. And then you have the dimensions around you through which God manifests as the great cosmic beings of light, and as the lords of the various dimensional planes and realms. God manifests as the Logoi of the sun and the planets, And as the Chohans, the lords of the seven rays, and they're also called the seven rishis or the Sapta rishis in Sanskrit. And God manifests as the masters, those men and women who have perfected themselves upon evolving planetary life waves and worlds and have already ascended into immortalized bodies of light. And these ascended masters form the planetary supervisors, guardians, or hierarchies of this and every planetary and solar world. You have all of these alliances of men and women that are making certain that you and all of the evolving kingdoms of nature and life waves on this and other planets get home safely. That's their job. That's their what they do. That's what you do at that level as an ascended being yourself. So God also manifests as the great oversoul groupings of spirits. These are groups of spirits who embody a great divine principle. I've often described that monad as much like a sun with a myriad of rays, each ray being like a member or a soul aspect of that oversoul. And then God manifests as the masters, the angels, the devas, the elemental spirits of earth, wind, fire, water, and ether, and as the laws and forces of nature. The very atmosphere where you're sitting right now, be aware of it, is filled in every atom and subatomic particle with teeming manifestations of divine life at every dimensional level and wavelength. You're breathing God right now. When you eat, you're eating God. When you drink, you're drinking God. Every single thing you're doing, you're passing through level after level after level of divine life. So everyone has guardian angels and spirits that protect and guide each one individually. And then you have those who have passed on into the next dimension of life, as well as those who have evolved beyond the need to incarnate in a physical form. And all of these beings surround you to assist you. You do have freedom of choice and freedom of will to a certain extent, because your karma or your curriculum for any individual incarnation has certain pre-subscribed guidelines and boundaries within which you could, let's say, graze like a cow on a tether. But before you incarnate, that's when you really have freedom to choose what you're going to work out in any given lifetime. And for many of you that really like to listen to my voice in this show, you're listening for one reason. You are ready to go home to God in this lifetime. Because I'm not speaking about two people who are still really interested in the world. I'm speaking to those of you that really, truly, sincerely want to awaken spiritually and make this your last incarnation. Now, if you're a disciple of a master where you have made a commitment with a soul in this level or in another level, that has taken responsibility for your evolution and your initiations, then that master and the brothers and sisters who are also his or her disciples also surround you upon the inner planes. They work with you when you leave your body at night and sleep. They take you into the inner realms. You sit in classrooms. You go through tests and initiations, and you come back in your physical body in the morning, and you get to practice that very subtle knowing that returns with you and shows up as your day and the events of your day. So you learn from one another all the time. Like, for example, as I do these radio transmissions, the room is filled with disciples of the master that works, the masters and the lineages that work with me. They bring their chelas around to listen to what I have to say. We're all sharing and learning from one another, whether we're in physical incarnation or in embodiment in another body and another realm or dimension. So we're all working on awakening to deeper levels of our own beingness. Now, many of you recently from the planetary worlds other than Earth may be conscious of your family, friends, and co-workers and your loved ones from the Ashtar Command, or other space alliances, and other places other than this planet that you may sense as your home. So, you know, you have that factor, and you have that level of life that's let's say, influencing your consciousness to a certain degree. And then some of you have very strong associations with the guardian cities of the inner earth. There are some 278, I believe, cities inside the earth, one of them being Telos that we often speak about or hear, you may hear about. I have very direct connections with Telos and beings from Telos and an incarnation, well, actually more than one, in that level. And some of you do as well. So be aware also that you have relationships not only within the earth and above the earth and on the earth, but all three concomitantly. How could you ever, ever feel alone? Good heavens. And then there are soul groups. And a soul group is a group of souls who come into incarnation to fulfill some particular mission or task together. You may or may not actually meet each other physically, but you always have that sense that you're connected. And when you see something happening someplace in the world, and you'll often recognize it's a similar work that you're each doing throughout the world. The indigos have this strong telepathic network of communication, very, very much so. And some of us, perhaps those of you listening, are from MSIA, or the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness, which is a spiritual group that came in with a master called John Roger. And we are a group of souls who embody a mystery school and a lineage of teaching, a household of consciousness, that we have come to awaken and establish upon Earth. And that's what we've been involved doing all these many decades. So you can see how many associates and associations you have, how many groups of souls that you belong to. And I hope this makes you realize that it's impossible for you to ever be alone, or ignored, or not noticed. And know that all of these groups and levels of associations are manifestations of the one multidimensional God. So get it. You belong. You are connected. You are part of an immense divine cosmic plan being unfolded in time and space. And you are all in process of progressing to whatever is next within an open-ended and ongoing magnificent creation. If that isn't, you know, a hoop-de-doo, epiphany, joyful clicking of the heels moment, I don't know what would be. So all of creation, this is important that you realize that all of creation in the lower realms beneath soul, which would include everything you see on planet Earth, and in our universe, is completed in terms of creation. And that pertains to everything within the lower psychic and material dimensional realms and worlds. And these include the physical plane, the astral plane, which is the plane of imagination, the causal plane, which is the plane of emotion, the mental plane, which is the plane of thought, and the etheric worlds, which is the collective unconscious. All of those worlds and realms are teeming with life and planets and universes and evolving beings and creations. And every single one of them are complete. They're recycling that which has already been. They're all recycling. That's all. There's no original creation taking place in those realms. So what you're doing here in this world is all part of the past. You can remember, rearrange, replicate, but there's nothing new going on. You are here simply to revisit, refine, tweak, perfect your former presentations. You also get a chance to edit, delete, improve, re-script, reformat your former performances, and you get to master your personal levels. So when that is done, to your personal satisfaction and you decide, you get to move on to work in the real time, which to God is always now. God is always now. No future, no past, now. So you enter the real world when you are established in soul awareness at the fifth dimensional soul realm or plane. And you enter into the realm and jurisdiction of the first manifestation of the Supreme Absolute Godhead. And the Lord of the soul realm is Satnam. Yes, it's that name that's familiar to those of you of the Sikh faith. So that's the first manifestation of the Sukhmat or the Sarmat or the Purushottama. There's many names for the absolute, unmanifest God essence. And that's the first tangible manifestation of the positive God of the God realms in the form of Satnam. And he governs and embodies the soul realm. That's his jurisdiction. And you have to meet him in the company of a spiritual traveler. And you're introduced into that level, and you're allowed to pass into that realm because of the sponsorship of one of the travelers. The travelers always have to come in to this planet through the office of the Christ. So they come under the jurisdiction of the Christ always when they go in and out of the planet Earth, which, as I've told you in many previous shows, came under a fall and had to have restoration and salvation extended through the action and ministry of Jesus the Christ. So we were under a quarantine, and souls were trapped under the God of the negative realms, who had imprisoned souls and kept them from progressing into the God realms. And so that stronghold was broken by the ministry and presence of Jesus the Christ on the planet. So you need help in getting your consciousness established in the soul realm, and that's when you encounter a spiritual traveler when you're ready to make that shift into the next dimension. And you encounter that traveler through hearing one of that traveler's initiates speak, such as myself tonight over these airwaves. And that's followed by an encounter. Generally, if you're interested and open, you may have a dream. And in that dream, you may see the spiritual traveler come to you as a purple light or as a blue star or some encounter that you'll have. Generally, with me, it's going to be a purple light. And you have had a contact. Sometimes you'll see a form. I saw a form. I was contacted by the spiritual traveler when I was 12 years old. And he appeared to me as a young blonde man. He was a young blonde man at that time. And I was only 12, so we were both very young. And that was how I met him. And then 20 years later, I walked into my first seminar and recognized him physically, and that was John Roger. And I didn't even have to tell him. He told me exactly when he had come to, basically, to come and get me and take me home in this lifetime. So be aware that you may indeed have an encounter with a spiritual traveler. If you haven't already, if you're new to these seminars and this is the first time you're hearing me, you may have that experience. And so you can, if you want it, you can ask for it. Ask to be, tell God that you want to go home in this lifetime and that you be led to a traveler, someone who is qualified to establish you in the soul realm. So, to progress beyond the psychic and material realms, you have to have not only the living light, but the living word, the sound current of God. Now, that's in everyone, but it's not. It's in a dormant state and needs to be activated. And in our lineage, that is activated physically by a physical master through physical initiation. And that's where it differs from working with an ascended master who is not in incarnation. You actually have to have a physical connection in your physical body. And sometimes travelers do it without an outward initiation. It's very, some just speak and you're initiated without any kind of a ritual. It's very, very individual. There's all different kinds of travelers and how they work. The traveler that I work with physically initiates. So you have that opportunity to progress physically at this time with a traveler on the physical plane. And if you're interested, you can go to msia.org for more information. So the psychic and material realms operate under the Lords of Karma, the karmic board, and through cycles of rebirth or reincarnation. And karma and reincarnation both come under the jurisdiction of the God of the psychic and material realms and dimensions called the Call. And the Call power is the God of the negative realms, and he's the God of the school of hard knocks. And he will knock you around good and hard and make sure that you're ready to go into the higher realms, because he's a sore loser. He doesn't want to lose souls out of his jurisdiction and domain. He likes to keep souls recycling here in ignorance and darkness. That's his whole thing. And Kal, K-A-L, also means time and darkness. So he is the god of time, the god of darkness, the god of limitation, the god of the ego. You might say he's a manifestation of the very polar opposite of that, which would be the progression into beyond evolution. He's the god of evolution, and he has his job. You know, he's not you know, as evil as he's pointed out to be, but he certainly has attitude, and he will keep you under the law of karma from forever if he can. That's what he wants to do. So you have to come to Christ. You have to come to the travelers. You have to really want to be free, and then you're led and guided to those souls who have that ability to help you to free yourself. So once you come under the mantle of the spiritual travelers, you're under grace, and he can't touch you anymore. He can try to touch you and try to get you off the path, but basically, you know, you're under a higher order and authority at that time. And all of the travelers ultimately work on this planet through Jesus the Christ, the office of the Christ, and the order of Melchizedek. So that's your spiritual lineage into and beyond, into the heart of God. So when you come to the Christ, you come under grace and are no longer entrapped in the call realms of karma and reincarnation. And it is a process of learning how to be in this world, but not of it, and to follow the Christ and the Christed way of unconditional loving forgiveness through soul transcendence. And those that graduate into the realms of divine light enter for the first time into true, genuine creation. And in the God realms, you create through ever-expanding ananda, or bliss. Bliss, actually, is the way you create, whereas in the human realms, it is through thought forms projected that creation takes place. So humanity imitates creation through mental projection, whereas liberated souls create through ever-expanding bliss. So through Ananda and their bliss, they function in the Zohar body, which is the highest of those five bodies that I've spoken of that are extensions of your five lower bodies. And you create in realms of transcendental glory. And these realms are eternal and ongoing. So that's your real future, beloveds. And it is assured and guaranteed that you will be born of spirit to eternal life. You will be born the Christ, the beloved. You will awaken as God. And God is that which forever is, and that which you forever are, united as one love. I hope this has clarified some things for you. Release everything that is not sitting within you freely and joyously into the love that is, and step free through grace. And let's go out chanting, Anai Hu. Deep breath. Anai Hu. And we say, Baruch Hashem Adonai, blessed is the name of the Lord, which is your name and my name and all names, Adonai.